Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com.
One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Officially headed downhill toward the weekend. We only have one baseball series left, you know, and it will start this weekend coming up on Friday and Saturday. The World Series, as long as it's not a sweep, will actually take us into November, if you can believe that. But yes, we're heading into the final weekend of October. And as I say, heading into, it's Wednesday, okay? But we're pointed toward the final weekend in October. Lots of trick-or-treating this weekend. I'm actually really happy that I will not be around on Saturday afternoon and evening because last year I baked cookies and passed those out on a tray to trick-or-treaters. But my neighborhood is so busy. There's so many kids. It's hard to walk Penny. I remember a few years ago, funniest thing ever with Penny. We were walking and I'm trying to navigate large groups of kids and parents and crazy costumes and everything else. And just that people have their dogs out. And so it got really busy in the afternoon in my neighborhood. And I'm walking Penny around the block and I can't figure out why she's lagging behind me. I turn around and I realize she's following a trail of Cheetos and eating them off the ground. So yes, it's difficult to walk the dog on Halloween trick-or-treat events. But anyway, it's not all about me. I just choose to stay hidden and stay inside. Anyway, so this weekend I will be gone on Saturday with a couple of different events and some fun stuff with Bob and my brother. But yes, Halloween is upcoming. A lot of people will celebrate this weekend since it's a Tuesday. And then next week, believe it or not, we will be crowning a World Series champion. We finally gotten to that point. And as October wanes, the Fall Classic is heating up. But that's the opposite of what happened to the Phillies bats. They went from world beaters to silent. They went from loud. Do you remember me telling you last week how the Phillies are loud? I can identify. I can relate to that. They're loud in everything they do. Their stadium is loud. And it was in games 1 and 2. The fans were loud in games 6 and 7. Gotta give credit to the D-backs. They earned every bit of their second World Series appearance in franchise history, but I am stunned at the ouster of the Phillies. I don't make predictions very often, in fact, hardly ever. And when I do, I always qualify them by saying they're guesses. I have no idea what's actually going to happen. But I did say on a Zoom call to a class I was speaking to on Tuesday that I would be stunned if the Phillies lost Game 7. For a lot of reasons. They have the best home field advantage in the history of the baseball playoffs. Those fans provide such a lift and such a boost. Not to mention, I felt like they were due. This team had so much wisdom and experience. They were very limited in game number 6 on their own field. And I just thought the tenacity and the toughness and everything that they bring to the table as a team, that it would serve them well. I know it was their first Game 7 in franchise history. I guess I didn't consider that in the equation, but they'd faced winner-take-all games before. I liked the fact that they had fought from being a wild card 2 years in a row to get to the NLCS, and they had taken out big bats like the Atlanta Braves, but I did not see this coming. I did not see their bats go from lukewarm to flat-out cold in the span of 2 games. I didn't see it. Didn't see it coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for all your questions to our Twitter and Facebook pages. If you did not hear your question posed on Ask Amy Anything here on the show,
Well, first of all, go back and get the podcast because if you missed it, it's always available. But I do reply throughout the day on Wednesday. I'll go back to Twitter and Facebook and I'll reply and I'll get a bunch of your questions answered that way. Oh my gosh. Don't ask me why I do these things. I'm a glutton for punishment, and I very often think that I'll just suck it up. Who cares if I'm tired? And then I get to this point in the week and I think, what in the world? Why did I schedule a duct cleaning at my house between the hours of noon and 3? Jay, why did I do that? I thought, oh, it's all right. I'll sleep on Monday. I'll sleep on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, it'll be okay. I'll be able to wake up early. Now, that sounds like the worst idea of all time. But because I've had some trouble with allergies this year, I've never had allergies before. But for whatever reason, I'm not sure if it's because I'm getting old. I have no idea. But I'm getting the ducts clean in my house. So all of the air ducts before I turn the heat on. I'm an idiot because I scheduled it between noon and 3.
Yeah.
They first said between 8 and 9, and I thought, okay, it's going to take a couple hours. I'll be so exhausted by mid-morning. I'll just wake up early. I'll sleep first and wake up early. But now it makes me want to just ignore the phone call and not open the door.
I've been there. The schedule, it's with the sleep. You're like, oh, no, like I'll be fine. And then like the actual comes to it. It's like, why the hell did I do that?
Yes. But it's a problem because we generally sleep during business hours. So when there are appointments that need to be kept and different, I don't know, whether it's I'm trying to think of some other example. Oh, like a power washing or getting a new shed installed soon. These are things that need to be done during the daytime, right? The worst, though, like those two things are taking place outside. So theoretically, I don't have to be awake the whole time.
Do you have to like let them in? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to be in the house. In fact, he said to me, if you would like us to do one particular room first, we will do that first. And then, you know, if you need to do some work or if you need, you know, I mentioned my dog. Do you think it's possible that while they're cleaning the ducts in the rest of the house, I can go back to sleep?
Try.
If they had them do my bedroom first? No, that's creepy. There's going to be multiple men in my house. I don't think it's a good idea for me to go back to sleep. That's
probably not a good idea, but you
can
try.
Oh, why? Why did I do this? I was so gung-ho, and I needed to get it done. And
well, it's a good cause. Like I think it's, you know, going to be a benefit, but to wake up at basically the middle of the night for us to get it just doesn't sound exciting.
No, exciting. It's anything but exciting.
Like, you know, if you're getting up to, like, I don't know, go to a movie or something, like maybe you'd be a little better.
I would not be getting up to go to a movie,
you know,
after
saying,
3 hours of sleep.
Is there any way you could like shoot a text or something, be like, hey, can you come more towards 3? Because 3 isn't, I mean, it's early, but it wouldn't be as bad,
right? Yes, I can try that.
Like noon sounds horrible.
So here's the fun. No, it does sound horrible. And watch them show up like right away at noon. I would hope I'd be able to get back to sleep, but the problem is it's going to take up a couple hours. So probably not. By that time, Penny and Sugar will be needing.
Penny's going to be doing her thing.
Oh, man. This is what a terrible idea.
Cancel it.
No, I
just
can't.
Call it.
I can't cancel it. I have an appointment. I have a coupon. I need to get it done. Anyway, maybe I can ask them to come later. But here's the funny part. So they told me that they would come between noon and 3. So that's the even worse, right? Because what if they show up at 2:30 and I've been awake since noon?
Exactly.
So my plan is to, because I usually turn my phone on silent when I'm sleeping so I don't get bombarded by texts and calls. What if I set the alarm for noon, I turn the phone on, and then I stay in bed? Because they're giving me a half hour warning. But also the chances are if I fall back asleep and the phone rings, I might not hear it.
It's a tough game to play that game. Like I've done that waiting for like to hear back from emails or something and trying to like, oh, I'll set an alarm like every hour and I'll just sleep
no,
in between.
That's the worst.
You never like it's horrible.
Yeah. Shoot, that was a bad idea. That was a really bad idea.
They're definitely coming today?
As bad as Mad Dog basing his future on a game that he can't control. Have you guys heard this? Yeah, they're coming today. I'm just going to suck it up, okay? Don't bother me on Wednesday evening because I'm going to have to take a nap.
I'll call you.
No. Dinner time, I'm out. All right, so I don't know. Maybe that's a bad idea, but this is a worse idea.
I would not be stunned if they won tonight. I would be floored. And I'll say this right now. And Bob Raceman, write it down. If they win the next 2 days, they win the next two games and win this series in seven games, if they win, I will retire on the spot. Maybe you can convince me one. If they win two in a row, you know what? I'll make it different because I'll make it be painful for me.
Oh, so that's not
painful. If they win the next two
retiring
days.
Retiring on the spot.
2 weeks from today, I will work on the air and not go to Timmy's first game as an assistant coach. That will be painful. And you can chronicle it because if I'm not on the air, well, then I lied. And if I'm on the air, hey, you know what? He paid his bet. Paid his debt. If they win two against the Phillies.
So here's the thing. He's not actually retiring. This is Mad Dog Russo. For those of you who don't know him, he's an iconic radio voice. He's now on Mad Dog Radio on satellite. And you may not have known him before, but you definitely know him now. I wonder how many of the under 23-year-olds in the Diamondbacks clubhouse knew the name Mad Dog before yesterday.
Mad Dog! Mad Dog! Mad Dog! Mad Dog! Mad Dog! Mad Dog!
Nice. That's courtesy of AZ Sports. Yep. Got to pay up. But I don't understand why you would ever make a bet like that. I don't get it. Why would you ever tie a personal event or your future in the business to a game you have no control over?
I will retire on the spot.
On the spot. But I'm assuming he doubled back on that, right? And now it's just about missing his son's game. And I say just. I'm sure it's going to be painful. But what an idiot. You're actually punishing your son.
Right.
For something you can, for a stupid bet that you have no control over the outcome. I do not understand that.
I think the son hurts more than he would.
Exactly.
In that one.
Son's got to be, well, not furious, but probably really sad.
Hurt.
Are you kidding, Dad? Yeah. Are you, exactly. That hurts me that you would actually make that sacrifice over something as stupid as sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Phillies, 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position in games 6 and 7 on their own field. They did have the lead in the fourth inning. They rallied past the D-backs in the fourth inning of game 7, but then left the bases loaded. So they plated 2 runs in the fourth inning, left the bases loaded, and it wasn't long before the little engine that could, those scrappy Diamondbacks, came firing back.
Carroll swings, ground ball, base hit center field. Rivera rounding third. He will score. And on Carroll's third hit of the night, he ties the game at 2. Swing and a base hit right field. Carroll rounding third. Castellanos charging. We're going to have a play at the plate. The throw is cut off. Carroll scores. Moreno in a rundown. And he tried to juke out the first baseman, Harper. The put out there will go 9-3-4. But the Diamondbacks take the lead.
Greg Schulte on Diamondbacks radio. You could feel it even through the TV, and you could definitely hear it. That full throat stadium, they were measuring decibel levels. You may have seen on the broadcast on, I guess it was, or was it TBS? The broadcast where when the Alec Bohm home run went flying out of the stadium, and then Bohm scores the go-ahead run on a Bryson Stott RBI. They're measuring decibel levels, and it got up to 106 for those of you who pay any attention to that. It was loud. It was raucous. It was electric. And again, that's one of the reasons why the Phillies have played so well at home in this postseason and last year too. But the Diamondbacks rallied with 2 runs in the fifth, and that stadium got quiet. The Phillies managed to get a couple runs off Brendan Faught, but you know what they didn't do? They could not generate any offense against the bullpen. Faught was gone after 4 innings. The Phillies had 1 hit. 1 hit in the next 5 innings. They did have a couple of walks in the 7th, but then left 2 more runners stranded. In fact, for Bryce Harper and Trey Turner, the 2 and 3 hitters, there's going to be a lot just stewing over this, going back over it. The two of them were 0 for 8 combined in Game 7. And multiple times, they had a chance to drive in a big run. Even if it's not a home run, it's just a big hit. Couldn't capitalize. 2 for 17 with runners in scoring position, these Phillies, in these final two games at home. And so that stadium got nervous and anxious, and then finally just got quiet. And the bats were muted, and the fans were muted as well.
Here's a pitch, and a fly ball, right field, going over is Corbin Carroll. He's under it. He's got it, and the 2023 Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series for the second time in their 26-year history. They have upset the Philadelphia Phillies. They come back after losing the first two games here in Philadelphia. They went 4 of the last 5, the last two here at Citizens Bank Park. And they beat the Phillies 4-3, winning tonight's game by a final score of 4-2. And the celebration is on the field for the Diamondbacks. Off to Arlington, Texas to take on the Texas Rangers in the 2023 Major League Baseball World Series.
There's a lot of emotion on this field right now. We have walked a walk that I don't think only but a few people understand. There were some dark days here. So 2 years ago, we lost 110 games. And to say that we're going to the World Series, you know, 24 months later is an amazing feeling. And I can't quite put it into words. But at some point today, I'm going to slow it down and be able to. But for right now, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it.
I think it's really been a group effort, you know, players sticking up for players, you know, staff as well, and kind of just some of the infrastructure that we've developed over really the course of this year to be able to get through those tough times. You know, we were, in a sense, lucky enough to face some real adversity during the season, and so, you know, I think that prepared us for moments like this.
Pair of wild cards meeting in the World Series for the first time since 2014, I think was the last time. And it's incredible. The Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Now, they both spent a lot of money. The D-backs won 84 games this year. Both these teams had 100 loss seasons just a couple years ago. And so as much as people talk about how Major League Baseball is unfair, there's no salary cap. There is a luxury tax, though, and there's a pretty steep luxury tax threshold. It's very punitive once teams go over it. So you've even seen teams like the Yankees, like the Red Sox, dialing back their spending a little more because they recognize how much money it costs them to go over the cap, quote unquote. But now you've got two teams, both wild cards, although the Rangers led their division most of the season. But two wild cards who take out teams in their own divisions, right? And survive to the Fall Classic. I will say I'm happy it's not a rematch of last year only because I like fresh storylines and something new. And this is definitely new from the category of you can't make this stuff up. We're asking you, like Diamondbacks over the Phillies, what's another stunning upset you never saw coming? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Tell you what, Nick Castellanos never saw it coming.
The potential of this team is so much greater than going home before the World Series. You know, last year when we lost Game 6, I think, obviously we're disappointed because we didn't win the whole thing, but there was a lot of like, all right, well, we got here. You know, like now we can build off of that. So knowing how we feel about this team and we came up short from what we did the year previous, I mean, it's a disgusting feeling, honestly.
Nick Castellanos does wear his heart on his sleeve, and a disgusting feeling because this team could have accomplished so much more. By the way, before that, if you didn't recognize voices, Corbin Carroll on MLB Network, he went 3-for-4 with a couple RBI in this game, and true to form, how he has been pretty much all season long, except for when he was injured for a bit. Did you know that this team, they're so young. They had 11 home runs by players who were under 23 years old. I mean, what they've been able to do is stunning, but against the Phillies at the bank, considering that earlier in this series, the Phillies had a 10-0 shutout, a 10-0 game. The bats just, they disappeared. I like this answer from Rob Thompson, Philly's manager, about when he realized that things were changing in this series.
Probably the fact that they got the lead in the game, first game back here. Probably changed the momentum a little bit. They started to run a little bit, started to put pressure on us, and they started playing their game. And they did a good job with that. So I'm not exactly sure, but it did change.
It definitely did. I mean, it's always painful when you get this close and you come up short. But the Phillies had everything in their favor. And they had taken out the big bad Braves again. Final two games at home. They just needed one of them. And so while I wouldn't bet my future in the business on it, nor any type of personal family obligation or family event, I am stunned. And many of you are responding with the upsets you never saw coming. So we'll get to a few of those before the end of the hour. Last night was also the start of the NBA season. The Denver Nuggets celebrated with the banner and the rings. Oh my gosh, the rings apparently have on the side of them a piece that unfurls like the banner. Don't ask me how they did that, but if you want to find the Nuggets, the NBA probably posted a video of the rings. Yeah, I guess they have a piece that folds out like a banner. Crazy. Anyway, they get really creative with these rings now. They are gaudy, some gaudy bling. So the Nuggets are back to business. The Golden State Warriors, they now have Chris Paul, but they lose to the Phoenix Suns, his former team with KD. Yeah, all the drama. So we'll mix in a little of a...
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people. Because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Of the NBA as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Nuggets Nation, I can't hear you. You guys have been the best fans in the NBA for 8 years. We appreciate that. Last year was amazing. We got one ring. Who wants another?
Murray has it at the midcourt circle, guarded by Torian Prince. They're going to go to Jokic in the high post again. This time a pick by Joker. Joker, kick out three-pointer. Got it! There's a triple-double, Nikola Jokic. Game number one, 27-13 and 11.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right, so some things never change. Nikola Jokic with his first triple-double of the NBA season. The Nuggets shot 53% from the floor, so they were locked in after receiving their rings and watching the banner raised into the rafters. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio, and Mike Malone at the ring ceremony. He's fantastic, and keeping in mind that he lost his dad 2 weeks ago, so his dad just missed seeing his son have a brand new piece of hardware, a brand new piece of bling, and seeing that banner. But of course, he does know that his son finally became an NBA champion, which is incredible. I'm so glad his dad was around for that. But yeah, the emotion of the opening ceremony, it's a lot to digest.
It was nice to
you know, have a moment there and then get right back to work. I thought we took that energy, that confidence, and went right into the game with it. So, you know, today was a great example. We just played as a team. Ball was hopping. Ball was moving. Guys in the right spot.
It was amazing, Felix. To be honest, I miss the guys who are not with us anymore. But it was just probably it can happen once in a lifetime. So we as a group, as a collective group, we went as a and we're going to remember one time in the history or whatever. So we're going to be remembered as a champion. So I think it's a really nice moment in life.
A really nice moment in life. I'm sure he enjoyed his offseason back home, where he said after a couple of weeks of people wanting to take photos and talk to him and congratulate him, they just leave him alone and he just does his thing. I don't know if you guys watched the Inside the NBA on TNT, but it was on site, actually. It was in Denver. And so they talked to Jokic after the game, and Shaq had learned how to say, "I love you," in Jokic's native tongue. And so they were already goofing off with him, of course, because he is a likable personality. And as much as people make fun of him for the fact that he's stiff or not athletic or whatever, he's now a champion and nobody can take that away from him. Now, I don't know how to say "I love you" in Serbian. Oh, Jay knows how to say "I love you" in Serbian. Go ahead.
We would be remiss if we did not allow Shaq to speak to you in your native tongue.
Oh my gosh.
I just want to say,
let's go, Shaq.
I just want to say, brother, volente. Volente.
Volente. Good job. Good job, Shaq. I like the suit. Really good suit.
What did he say?
Really
what did he say?
Says, "I love you."
I love you. Yes. Good job, Shaq.
Volente.
Hey,
volente.
Shaq, next time.
Shaq, sometime.
Next time, something different. Next time, something different. Come on.
We're given plenty of time to prepare.
Next time, something different. Jokic is like, how about say something different to me next time? So that was one of two games on opening night in the NBA. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The other, actually, in the Bay Area, where the Warriors hosted the Suns. And this was kind of crazy because it was wild. In the third quarter, the Warriors outscored the Suns 40-19. In the fourth quarter, they were outscored 28-18. So yeah, it was a mess. I said this earlier, it cracks me up. Tim Roy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Warriors, I heard him say this: Chris Paul has been the best Warrior on the court tonight. That was his first game, of course, with Golden State. And so after Tim says that, he pauses, a phrase I thought I'd never utter.
We're all getting used to each other. You know, me and Steph play two totally different ways, you know, and so that's an adjustment for a lot of these guys. It's an adjustment for us. But we have so many different units that can play, especially when Dre get back. You know what I mean? So that's going to be a whole nother group of us sort of getting used to each other. But it's promising, because one thing about teams is you can tell the spirit. You know, spirit is something that you can't hide, you know, when guys is frowning or mad or whatnot. So what I'm excited about our team is, you know, the spirit is right.
We've joked about it a lot already. It's I remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, he got J.K. in Phoenix, like 92 feet from the basket, and we were all like, come on, man. It was a different play. It was a great play in terms of today, like just understanding when contact was going to happen and obviously, you know, selling the call that was actually there. But, yeah, definitely some laughs. And he got booked with it too, which is funny. And you know, just, you know, obviously smart basketball. You have to play the game. It is nice to not have to look at the ref like, hey, he's on our squad now.
It's weird to me that Steph Curry and Chris Paul are now in the same backcourt. It is weird. I will tell you that. And it's probably going to be extremely odd to see Damian Lillard in a Bucks uniform playing alongside Giannis. Just combinations that we have to get used to. Speaking of that, I talked about those with Matt Moore when he joined us from Denver after the ring ceremony. And we're going to bring back part of this conversation because I want you to hear what he has to say about load management. Last night it was the Lakers, right? And while LeBron is on a minutes limit just because he's starting season number 21, they want to be careful. How will load management affect the Lakers? Because they use it liberally.
This is what load management is about.
Exactly, Darvin Ham. Not just that, but Kawhi Leonard, His idea of load management is to take a month off at a time. Is that, that's mean, isn't it? It probably is mean. Anyway, I asked Matt about load management and how it will be implemented, but also about James Harden and what happens with Harden. So we're going to bring back part of that, but they are off and running in the NBA with a pair of games from the Western Conference and the Nuggets. They are the champions. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page, what is the upset in sports that you never saw coming? We'll also bring back some of your answers. Whew, it's the hump show. It's your hump day. You got this.
Yeah.
I will be delirious come this time tomorrow since I will have slept for all of 45 minutes before the duct people show up. What was I thinking?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
From Nurkic on the right wing, back in between the circles. He gives it right side, Gordon for three. He got it! Eric Gordon from way downtown, and the Suns are back up 5, 106-101, 43 seconds to go. Gets to the top of the arc, gives to the cutting Nurkic. He scoops it up and in off the window. What a feed from Book, and Nurk finishes at the rim to put the Suns up 4 with 10.3 seconds left. Timeout, Warriors.
This is Klay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Clay. My mom, for her birthday, got to hear that and was speechless. No joke. I played it for her, and she had no reaction. Mom, did you hear that? That was Clay.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
She loves the Splash Brothers. She was watching the Warriors season opener last night, and yet she was speechless. She couldn't figure out why Klay Thompson was talking about After Hours. Yes. Thank you, Clay. Thank you, Warriors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. As the man told you, and by the way, that is Suns Radio, as they managed to hold off the Warriors for their victory in game number one. And they're off and running. We had a chance to catch up with Matt Moore, longtime NBA insider now with the Action Network. And really good conversation, wide-ranging conversation about the Nuggets, Lakers, lots of topics there. But I wanted to ask him how he believes teams will navigate the new rules made to prevent stars from either taking random nights off or stars sitting out all at the same time.
I mean, it wasn't a great start when Bradley Beal, who, you know, did tweak his back and has an injury, but they said that he's out basically out of trying to be cautious in the first game of the season. Not a great start there, but that said, I'm still pretty optimistic that I think we're going to see a higher level of effort and focus from teams and players on the regular season this year. It's been a big talking point. Most notably, if you ask conversations around the league, you kind of get a sense that a lot of this is coming from the players themselves, that in coordination with the NBA, who knows that a new media deal is being negotiated and they need to put their best foot forward for the good of everyone financially. I think we're meeting this summer with the NBPA where there is a little bit of this sense within the ranks of trying to get everybody back on track of, hey, we got to play. Like, we got to be out there. I know that the training staffs are telling us that we need to rest, that it's dangerous, that I'm going to get injured, but we've got to push through a little bit. We have to kind of change the narrative. I think the players are really tired of being accused of not wanting to play when so often it's the teams that are asking them and telling them, hey, you're at risk of injury. We think it's safer if you don't play tonight. I think the players are kind of taking this stuff into their own hands and saying, no, we're going to compete this season. Now, we'll see if they carry through with it, if they can still do it in January. But I do think we're going to see a lot less load management, a lot less rest nights. I think a lot more play on back-to-backs. I think we'll see a better product from the NBA this season.
Okay, Matt, let's talk about some of the new duos and tandems that we have in the NBA. I actually was listening to Warriors basketball on my drive into work, and Tim Roy utters these words: Chris Paul may be the best Warrior on the court tonight. And then after a pause, he follows it up with a phrase I thought I'd never say. So there you've got Chris Paul joining the Warriors, but that's just one of the moves. With Dame going to Milwaukee, the changes for the Celtics, Wemby in San Antonio, Who are a few of the new combos that you are psyched to see?
I mean, I think it starts with Milwaukee. Just seeing Damian Lillard for years has been one of the best offensive players in the league, and he's carried these teams with rosters that were fine. They weren't terrible. Like, these teams were not filled with, you know, non-NBA players, but he's never had a real star beside him, a real superstar. And now he's got arguably the second best or best player over the last 5 years in basketball in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And having Giannis as a player he can play off of is going to elevate his game to an even higher level. Having Dame to space the floor and make sure teams can't send droves of defenders at him is going to make Giannis better. This is the best defense that Dame's ever played with. And I was thinking about this too. You know, where does Chris Middleton fit in with the number of guys that Dame has played with? It's probably in Portland, LaMarcus Aldridge, and then I think Chris Middleton's probably better than CJ McCollum. So, like, Chris Middleton, the now third or fourth best player on the team, is still probably, like, on the list of third best players that Dame's ever played with. And that I think, is really exciting. The Celtics, I'm more excited on kind of a how they all go together formula, because you have so much defense in the backcourt with Derek White and Drew Holiday. That's just a fantastic defensive combo that's going to give point guards nightmares game after game after game. But in preseason, you kind of saw this. Kristaps Porzingis was phenomenal last year. I've never been really high on Porzingis, and he was amazing last season because he was finally healthy.
Yes.
If he stays healthy, he provides a weapon that means that the Celtics won't have those stretches where their offense completely melts into pieces. And that's really exciting, and that can open up even more for Jason Tatum. So all these things, I think that they're super exciting. The Warriors, I'm a little bit more skeptical about with Chris Paul and the age and the injuries and all of that. And the Suns, I've talked to players who have kind of said, like, yeah, we don't know. I don't know if Phoenix is going to be dominant enough because of their defense. And that, I think, is an interesting question. And I think everybody in the league, I will say this, I don't know. I've never seen a rookie come in that so many players are like, I got to make sure I watch that, as I've heard talk about Victor Wembanyama.
What do you expect with him?
I had kind of lowered the bar on my expectations and been like, well, you know, look, he doesn't have the muscle mass and he's going to get pushed around and guys are going to attack his dribble. And then I saw him in preseason and was like, man, maybe not. Maybe he's just going to block four shots a game and hit threes and dunk from the free throw line. Like, there's a part of this where these guys that are so physically exceptional, I'll never forget, there was a scene early in Giannis's first MVP season where they were playing the Nuggets and Paul Millsap, like, was trying to stop Giannis in transition. And it was obviously impossible because of Giannis's athleticism and wingspan. And Paul Millsap looked at the bench like, what is it you want me to do here? And that's how every player looks with Victor Wembanyama. What is it I'm supposed to do here? And that, I think, is going to be really amazing in that, look, it's not going to be perfect every night, and there will be nights he struggles like any rookie. But the things that he does are things we've never seen before. And that's going to be exciting and something to watch for every single night.
Matt Moore is with us from Denver here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What happens with James Harden?
Whew. You know, I think he ends up a Clipper. I think eventually that deal gets one side or the other budges and they get it done. I think there's a sense of resignation on the Sixers side with a lot of things going on. And I think on the Clipper side, there's a confidence that they can get him. Now, look, my understanding is that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have both expressed that they want that deal to get done. But that's something that they think the team needs to do. Typically, those guys get what they want with the Clippers. And so, you know, I think it's very likely that he winds up there. Harden's away from the team right now there's a personal family illness. And it is, like, for all of the jokes and all of the comments, and I understand why Harden has put himself in a position for those jokes to be made. But, like, my understanding is that the situation is serious. And so I'm trying to have, like, empathy and care and not, you know, get involved in the kind of cynicism that Harden has honestly generated for himself. And understand that he does have you know, a family and a personal life, and he's got some stuff going on. But long-term, I think he probably goes to the Clippers. The bigger question in NBA circles I've talked to is very little about Harden because he's not considered to be that much of a impactful, influential player anymore, quite honestly. The question is, what happens with Joel Embiid then? And there are a lot of teams that are keeping their cap sheets and offers ready in the event that Joel Embiid decides, you know what, this is you didn't get a star back in return. I don't want to waste a season. This has gone sideways. I'm out. And if that happens, we're just going to go from the Dame situation and the Harden situation right into the Embiid saga, and it will just keep on running because there's not a lot of confidence that things will calm down with the Sixers unless Daryl Morey and the Sixers front office find a miracle trade for a true star running mate next to Embiid.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? The Sixers go through this every couple years. By the way, Ben Simmons is ready to go. He's going to play in 23-24. I don't know what happens with James Harden or when, though Matt seems confident that he will end up in Los Angeles because, you know, PG-13 and Kawhi are on board with it. But where does that leave the Sixers? Could you imagine if that happens and when, if Joel Embiid says something about wanting to leave or it's not going to work here, I'm ready to get out, the firestorm. Oh, I might hunt under a rock. Could it just happen while I'm gone for my wedding and the holidays so that I don't have to deal with it?
Are you saying the Nets won the James Harden trade?
Oh, my gosh. The Nets won with this whole concept of addition by subtraction. That's how they won. They won because they got rid of the headaches. That's how they won, even though they're now left kind of wondering, what the heck do we do now? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. You can always catch the full show on podcast, and our guests are put in separate audio files. We share those every afternoon on Twitter and Facebook. I know many of you bookmark our podcast, and you catch it on a daily, if not multi-weekly, or bi-weekly, I don't know, something weekly basis. Multiple times per week would have been the appropriate way to say it. All right, we're asking you whether or not, what's an upset that stunned you and still you can't believe it happened? Mark says Red Sox over the Yankees after being down 3-0, an embarrassing 3-0 in the 2004 ALCS. That I remember well. Christopher on Facebook, Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. He says, I'll never forget it. Dave goes with the Baltimore Ravens in 2000 with an average Trent Dilfer as quarterback. Another David, Mets beat the Orioles in the 1969 World Series. That was before my time, but I've heard so much about it. Igor, a 16 seed, UMBC, upsetting Virginia in the NCAA tournament in 2020. Yeah, good ones. Oh, Missy, Texas A&M upsetting Alabama in October of 21. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Commuting to work again? Welcome back. Just breathe and remember, you got this. And the all-new Hyundai Kona is there to help. Class-leading interior space means you can stretch out. Intuitive tech like remote smart parking assist makes parking stress-free. And complimentary BlueLink Plus allows you to set the climate controls remotely. Learn more about the all-new Kona and your best commute ever at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.